the headquarters of Ramsey Solutions. It's the Ramsey Show, where debt is dumb, cash is king, and the paid-off home mortgage has taken the place of the BMW as the status symbol of choice. We help people build wealth, do work that they love, and create actual amazing relationships. George Camel, Ramsey Personality, is my co-host today as we answer your questions. The phone number, 888-825-5225. Megan starts off this hour in Charlotte, North Carolina. Hi, Megan. How are you?
I'm all right. Thanks so much for taking my call, Dave and George. How are you guys today?
Better than we deserve. What's up in your world?
Well, my husband passed away 9 weeks ago.
Oh, my.
Unexpectedly. Yes. And he had a heart attack in the middle of the night.
Oh, my Lord. How old was he?
I'm 31. He's 50, or was 50, I guess.
Wow. Oh, my goodness. I'm so sorry.
Thank you. Yeah. So we have two very small children, 2 years old and 9 months old. Mm-hmm. And I'm just terrified. I listen to you all the time. I'm a huge fan, and I just wanted to know what advice you have for me. What mistakes do you see people make in this situation, and what do I need to do? I'm at a loss.
Mm-hmm. What decisions are you needing to make right now?
Well, the life insurance, which thankfully we had, just came in yesterday. So need to decide what to do with that.
And how much was
need
that?
To decide what to do. That's
$800. Okay. And do you have a house?
Yes, I have a house that I can't stand right now, as you can imagine. Mm. So.
And what is it worth?
It's worth about $700. We owe about $400 on it.
Okay. All right. So let me kind of give you a general principle that we all use here. And then we can back in out of that and into that for, you know, you and I and George can to figure out what some of your best ideas are. Okay.
Okay.
When you go through something like this, particularly something that is, when you go through losing someone, particularly suddenly and tragically, unexpectedly, no one's brain functions at full capacity in the middle of heavy grief.
Mm.
Okay. And so you got this fog. I mean, Sharon and I have been married 40 years. If something happened to Sharon, my brain wouldn't work good for a while. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
so it doesn't mean I'm dumb. It doesn't mean I have a bad brain. It just means that in the middle of this kind of trauma, is the worst possible time to make major decisions if you can avoid making major decisions. Is that logical?
Yes.
So, for instance, I wouldn't go on some kind of big campaign to become a professional investor with $800,000 right now. You're 31 years old with two little babies, and you you just had this horrible thing happen. And so I always tell people, if you can, let's just put that in a CD and park it for 6 months and cry.
Okay.
I'm not making any decisions for 6 months. I'm just going to cry and let the fog of grief go by, because grief comes in waves. I mean, you'll be going along, everything's fine, then all of a sudden it just hits you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Some silly smell or noise or something, you know, triggers your brain, triggers a memory, and it just hits you and you don't even see it coming. And that you know, you don't want to make a $800,000 investment decision in the middle of that. So if you can, let's do nothing.
Okay.
That's first thing. Now, doing nothing is not possible because you got to eat, keep the lights on. You've got to figure out, you know, do you have an income? Do you work?
I've taken leave from work since this has happened.
Okay. What were you doing?
No. I was a personal assistant.
Okay. And what were you making?
65.
Okay.
He was the breadwinner. The main breadwinner.
Okay. All right. And if you make decisions, let's try to make decisions that can be undone. Okay. Let me give you an example. Okay. It might be okay to sell the house. if you want out, if you just can't stand the place right now. I take it he passed away at home?
Yeah, in our bed.
Yeah. And so just walking around that house is icky, right? Mm-hmm. That's what you're saying. I can't stand this house. Yeah, that's sure. what you said, yeah. So it's okay to move. However, moving is emotionally traumatic too.
Mm.
With two babies, dadgum right. Everything you do is emotionally traumatic. But
yeah, sure.
But I don't think I would go buy a $700,000 house today. So okay. If I did anything, I would just sell and go find something to rent. And, it's my crying spot for 6 months or a year. I'm going to sit okay. here for a year, and then later I'm going to make a decision on where I want to live.
Okay.
But I don't think you're in I would not be in the state of mind to make a decision on where I want to live for the next 5 years.
Right.
So if you want to dump the house, that's something that the only downside of that is you can't get that house back.
Right.
But you can get another house later. If you just go, okay, the chances of me wanting to live here 5 years from now is almost zero, and the chances of me wanting to live here 5 days from now is zero, so I'm done with this thing. We're tapping out on it. So now I don't have 800. Now I got $1.2 million to sit in a CD while I just rent and go back to work and pay my bills. Or pull enough off the $1.2 million to quit your job and start a new job a year from now. And just set aside a salary, set aside $100,000 to live on for a year.
Okay.
But what you don't want to get into then is grief spending, which is medicating the pain with buying stuff. So you set yourself on like you say, okay, here's an amount of money I'm not going to touch. Like if we did that, if we sold the house and you said you got $400,000 equity, right?
Yes.
Okay. Plus 800 is $1.2 million. Following me?
Yes, sir.
Your rent? You don't have any other debt, right?
No, sir.
Okay. And you just put yourself in park mode so you can heal. Give yourself some margin to heal. And then a year from today, we decide what you decide what your career is. A year from today, based on your new career, you decide what house you want to buy.
Okay.
And you say, out of that $1.2 million, I'm going to set aside $100,000 over here. And that's going to be my salary, $8,000 a month for 1 year, and I have no payments except a rent payment. That makes sense?
Yes, it does.
And you don't touch the other $1.1 million for anything. Don't tell me you found something in the middle of your grief that you have to do, because there's no such thing.
Okay.
You follow me? Because I've seen people
sir.
Burn through this, and I've seen them make dumb decisions trying to be stiff upper lip, trying to be strong in a time when you shouldn't even be trying to be strong. You should just cry.
Move slow and just grieve.
Yeah.
So sorry, Megan.
Yeah, it's awful. Yeah, sit down with one of our SmartVestor pros. They'll help you execute that on getting rid of the house as an ELP, a real estate person, and get a SmartVestor pro for helping you with the investing as well, if that's the plan you decide to execute on. That sounds okay to me. Put your phone down. Over the years, we've substituted having deep and meaningful conversations for binge-watching Netflix or scrolling through social media and seeing how many Facebook friends you have, which, by the way, if you didn't know, those aren't real friends. Sometimes you can be sitting right next to someone but feel 1,000 miles apart. You deserve better relationships. That's why mental health expert Dr. John Deloney created Questions for Humans. These are conversation starters that will help you put your phone down and actually connect and have a conversation with the people you care about. These cards are flying off the shelves. You guys keep asking for more topics, and we took the hint. We have new conversation cards, brand new. There's a girls' night out, a guys' night, a dating, a parents and teens, and a workplace edition. Spend time laughing together, learning something unexpected, and build deeper, stronger relationships. Pick up one or two of our new Questions for Humans conversation starter cards and start having fun. Shop at RamseySolutions.com. Our question of the day comes from Blinds.com. Find out for yourself why Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Free samples, free shipping, and the new promos they run all the time will save you even more. Use the promo code Ramsey, and you'll get the best deal.
Today's question comes from Rick in Delaware. He says, I'm 27 years old, and for the most part, I follow your financial advice. I only pay for things with cash or debit. However, I have over $100,000 of open credit. When stocks crashed earlier this year, I used two of my credit cards to borrow $20,000 at 0% interest and bought S&P index ETFs. I thought, wow, stocks crashed, I'll buy now, pocket $3,000 to $5,000 when the market bounces back, and pay off the balance. Now the ETF values are even lower. The total I had in the stock market was $30,000, and now I only have $21,000. The 0% APR on the cards will end in October of next year. Should I pay off my credit cards now and take a loss of $9,000, or should I ride the wave until the loan is over since all the money is in indexes? I have only $2,000 in cash, I make $35,000 a year, and I have about $1,500 in monthly expenses. Oof. A lot of bad decisions were made here.
That's why you get the big bucks, George.
Rick sounds like a 27-year-old making $35,000 who thought he was going to get rich quick by using credit cards to invest. Yeah, there's yikes written all over this, but we'll answer his question.
Proverbs says, he who hastens to be rich will not go unpunished. Every time you set yourself up to get rich quick, you're going to get your head taken off. There is no shortcut to any place that's worth going. And so this is the lesson of this horrible tale for this young man and for any of you listening to this young man's horrible tale. So basically, you're going to have some pain. You're just going to have to choose your pain. Okay. You're going to have the pain of waiting and risking even more. If you ride until October, it could be down further, and you could be further in the hole. Or it could come up, and you might not have to write a check for $9,000. $9,000 is a lot of money when you make $35,000. However, you can make $1,500 a month delivering pizza or Uber Eats. And your little butt's about to go to work to pay for your stupidity, my son. Because I've done the same thing, and that's the only way I got out of it. It's worked my way through it. So when I've done something stupid, Rick, and I have done a lot of stupid things. I have a PhD in DUMB, buddy. So when I do something stupid and it causes me to lose money, I call that stupid tax. And you, young man, are getting ready to write a check for stupid tax. The only question is how big the check is. You can name your poison right now. It's $9,000 and call it. Call it a day. I learned my lesson. Not playing this game anymore. Over.
I found usually if it starts with easy, it ends with hard. And he was trying to make an easy $3,000, and now he owes a hard $9,000. Because he wanted to take a shortcut and try to game the system.
And every night when you're delivering pizza, just go, you know, I hate the idea of borrowing money on credit cards to buy ETFs. I hate the money. I hate the idea of borrowing money on credit cards to buy ETFs. I hate the idea of trying to beat the market with borrowed money. I hate the idea. And just by the time you finish delivering all those pizzas, you will really hate the idea.
That card's going to get cut up.
Yeah. And you'll be done with this forever.
What are we doing giving 27-year-olds making $35K $100,000 of open credit?
We didn't, but some idiot bank did. So Rick, you really have two options. I mean, one is limit your losses to $9,000 or take a chance. You're going to likely take some medicine. Somewhat less than $9,000, somewhat more than $9,000. What is the market going to do between now and October? I do not know. I do not know.
His track record of timing the market is not great.
I think the market is going to come back up, but I don't know if it's going to make it by October. I think there's enough negative pushes on the market that I don't know if it recovers 100% of your money by October. I wouldn't make that bet. I'm not saying I don't know. I just don't know. So if I'm in your shoes and I don't know, what I don't need is more pain. I'm probably going to, I would rather have a known devil than a future unknown devil.
Because that 9,000 could turn into 12,000 by October.
It could. It could turn into 15 before it turns into nothing. I mean, it could turn into nothing. That's a everything's a possibility here on the table. But so I think you're paying $9,000 in tuition to the school of life, and you're getting ready to write a check and graduate with honors.
Summa cum laude.
Yep.
Look at that.
No, it's thank you, Lottie.
Thank you, Lottie.
Yeah, that's it. So, jeez, yeah. I'm sorry. I'm not making fun of you because I'm readily admitting I've done dumber things when I was exactly your age. Crap, I went bankrupt when I was 28, so with millions of dollars in real estate debt. So, you know, your little $9,000 stupid ain't even close to mine. So, you know, I'm not picking on you. I'm not shaming you. But I do want you to realize and say out loud, one of the benefits of me going bankrupt is I figured out it doesn't work. What doesn't work? And I don't do it again. I've done a lot of stupid things. Very seldom, George, have I done the same stupid thing twice.
You learned a lesson.
I generally find a new one to do.
But you touched a hot stove and went, not again.
But yeah, this is...
So the goal is to save up the $9,000 by October so you can pay it off.
No, just pay it off as quickly as you can. Put it on a credit card. Pay it off now. It's on a credit card, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's on there. It's on there. Just cash out your stocks today. You got $9,000 left. And or your ETF today, you got $9,000 in credit card debt, and because you were stupid, and you go deliver pizzas and pay off your stupid, and work like a maniac. And if you can deliver pizzas 80 hours a week and be done in 3 months or 2 months, that'd be great. But it's going to take you a little while. But you know, clean up your mess, and all the while going, I learned my lesson. I was about that age when I bought gold.
Oh,
I lost $5,000 on that gold deal. I was about it because I had it all figured out. I was so smart for a stupid guy, and so
yeah, what is the mentality behind this? Is it this, well, I'm gonna outsmart the system. I figured it out.
Yeah, there's an... Let me
is
tell
that
you,
arrogance?
Every time you fall for get rich quick, it's usually, not every time, it's almost always got a level of arrogance to it. Like, I understand that there's risk, but I am smarter than all these people who perceive there to be too much risk because I've got this figured out. And there's always that element of arrogance to your diving into Bitcoin, you're diving into Beanie Babies.
Well, thank you, Rick.
Stuff people put money into.
He's a cautionary tale, so he helped us out today.
Yeah.
Hopefully stopping another 27-year-old.
Rick is your anti-mentor for the day. Everybody needs an anti-mentor. Bless your heart, Rick. I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry you're going through this. But, hey, good news is only $9,000. Good news, you're 27. You got the rest of your life to never do this stupid butt stuff again. This is The Ramsey Show. Personality is my co-host today. Richard is with us in Bethesda, Maryland. Hi, Richard. Welcome to the Ramsey Show.
Hi, Dave and George. How are you?
Better than we deserve. What's up?
Well, just paid off $45,000 of my debt, totally debt-free.
Woo-hoo! How long did it take you to do that, brother?
Right around 18 months.
Good for you. And your range of income during that year and a half?
So I was making around $42,000 plus another $26,000 with allowances from the military.
Mm-hmm.
So about $68,000 in total.
So through that whole time, that was your income. Okay, cool. So thanks for your service.
Yes.
Very cool. What kind of debt was the $45,000?
So I had around $20,000 in credit cards and about $25,000 in a car loan.
All right. So you pay off the car or sell it?
I paid it off.
Wow.
Man, you've been busting it.
I have.
Like beans and rice, rice and beans.
It's pretty much been that way.
Yeah, 18 months, you've been no fun.
Pretty much. But it's worth it in the end.
Yeah, now you're the definition of fun. You're debt free, man. I love it. Absolutely. How's it feel to have no payments?
Big burden, you know, off my shoulders.
Hmm. So 18 months ago, you were living La Vida Loca, and then you decided to, you know, batten up the hatches here. What happened 18 months ago?
Pretty much, you know, payments, you know, after I get my paycheck, I make the payments, and I only have a few hundred left over to last me in the next couple weeks. And I had a good friend who gave me the total money makeover, and I finally started reading it, implemented it, wanted to, you know, change a lifestyle.
Mm. How long did it lay around after he gave it to you before you read it?
About a week.
Oh, that's not bad.
That's okay. Impressive.
You said I finally got around to reading it. I didn't know. I thought maybe it was 2 years.
Well, right? I want to know, because a lot of people say, I try to give my friend the total money makeover, and they laugh you out of the room. What was it? Did you complain to him, and he was going, hey, if you're sick and tired, here's the book for you? And he did it in a winsome way?
Well, for a long time, he would always talk about it to other people, and I would hear him, but I wouldn't listen to him.
Mm.
And then that's when I started looking at my own situation and realized I was unhappy with it. So I finally started listening to him, and that's when he handed me the book and changed my life.
Man, I love it. I like this guy. What's his first name?
Dave.
Way to go, Dave. Cool. Dave, here's Dave.
Here we go.
That's great. I like it.
That's awesome. So what was the biggest sacrifice you made? It sounds like there was a lot. What was the biggest one where you went, man, this one hurts?
I'm sorry, could you repeat that?
What was the biggest sacrifice you made in those 18 months?
I mean, pretty much no fun.
Mm.
You know, pretty much work, home, only getting necessities that I needed. You know, cutting out the fun, excessive spending, no vacations.
And your friends went, dude, you're no fun anymore. What happened? You went, I'm trying to get out of debt, dude.
Well, he's also one of the big reasons why I was able to pay it off so quick. He allowed me to live with him rent-free, and I offered to pay rent. But he says, no, pay off your debt.
How generous.
This guy's a real friend.
He is.
That's pretty amazing. Very cool.
I wouldn't be here without him.
That's neat, man. Yeah, if you're going to work hard and do that, I'll let you do this for free. Yeah, I want to be part of your success story. I like friends like that.
That's awesome.
Well done, sir. Very, very, very well done. Love it, love it, love it, love it. So how's it feel to have no payments after all this work?
It feels amazing. It's definitely the new lifestyle I want to keep. I don't have a house, so, you know, been, you know, saving up to eventually put a down payment down in the next, you know, few years or so. But definitely not going back to credit cards or anything.
But what about the cash back, Richard? What about the rewards and the points? You're not going to miss that?
Absolutely not. It's not worth it.
Wow. I guess you can give yourself cash back because you have money now.
Absolutely.
That's a good plan. I love it. You're impressive, man. Thank you so much for your service, and what a great job getting rid of this debt.
So what do you tell people the key to getting out of debt is? Did I already ask you that?
No, sir.
Okay.
You just have to have the mindset to want to do it. You know, it's not, you either have to, you know, jump in the pool or get out. All in or not. So
no toe, you know, dipping.
Right. You know, you can't just kind of want to do it and implement just a little bit of it, you know.
Can't do it ish. You got to be all in.
Man, I'm proud of you, Richard. Proud of you. How old are you, sir?
29, sir.
Very good. Excellent. You got the rest of your life to live with no payments. You're going to make so much money. You're going to do so well. Well done. You really, really, really conquered a big issue here. Very, very well done. We got a copy of the Baby Steps Millionaires book for you, number one bestseller, How Ordinary People Built Extraordinary Wealth, and How Richard Will, Too. It's not exactly what it says on the cover, but pretty close. And, hey, also a copy of Total Money Makeover. You can give that to a friend like your friend Dave did for you, giving you that. And I'm going to give you a one-year membership to Financial Peace University and every dollar premium in the Ramsey Plus membership, and get you started on the whole thing and let you go through the class if you've not been through it. If you have been through it, give it away to somebody. And it's all new videos, including George and Dr. Deloney and Rachel Cruz and me doing all the lessons. And so it's all there, all our gift to you to say we're proud of you. We congratulate you. We salute you. Very, very well done. Richard in Bethesda, Maryland, $45,000 paid off in 18 months, making $68,000 a year. Count it down. Let's hear a debt-free scream.
3, 2, 1. I'm debt-free.
Yeah! Woo! This is how it's done. Very cool. Jim is in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Hi, Jim. Welcome to the Ramsey Show.
Hi, David. Hey, George. How are you guys?
Great. How can we help?
So I've gone through the class, myself and my wife, and we did this probably about 5-6 years ago. I know what we're supposed to do. I know the steps. I know everything that's supposed to be done. But for whatever reason, we just can't get it done. We don't start. We don't initiate. We'll save $1,000. We'll spend it. How do you get to that gazelle intensity?
Well, do you guys want it badly enough? Because it sounds like you want to have fun more than you want to be out of debt.
In all honesty, I think that's probably where we're at. We both sit down and said we're sick and tired, but then as soon as the opportunity comes up to, well, you know, let's go do this, let's go do that, we end up doing it.
You need a bigger why. Your why is not big enough. Your why for doing this whole thing is we have mild discomfort, so we should get rid of our mild discomfort. That's your only reason for screwing with this, and that's not big enough to push you through. You can have something that sets your hair on fire, man. You got kids.
We do. We have 4 kids, 5 grandkids. Our debt scenario, if you took a hurricane, earthquake, and a tornado, and they all had a baby, that'd be our financial situation. We've robbed from Peter, paid Paul.
How much debt do you guys have?
Including the house, we're well over probably $300,000-$400,000.
How much is the house debt?
House right now is at $300,000.
So you got about $100,000 of consumer debt?
Probably, yes.
Probably.
Actually, I'm sorry. Our debt in the house is $230,000.
Okay. What's your household income?
$162,000.
Okay. All right. Well, you're right, Jim. I mean, y'all are just lazy. I mean, you're just you know what to do, and you're just too lazy to go do it. And so the reason any of us are lazy is one of two things. One is we're just comfortable sitting in our own poop, or two, we don't believe it can be done and we're hopeless. We've lost our hope. And the second one is more of a heartbreak. The first one's more of a, you need your butt kicked. And so, we're the people to help you with either one. We can love you and through your heartbreak, or we can kick your butt. We love you and we want you to go win. So I'm going to put you into Financial Peace University. And Jim, you need to put a picture of these little kids on your refrigerator and go, they deserve a better grandpa than that. And he's about to clean his crap up. It's about time. Act like a grown man and stuff. You can do this. Don't call here if you don't want that. We love you, Jim. You can do it, brother. Hang on, we'll help you. This is the Ramsey Show. Our scripture of the day, Acts 24:16. In view of this, I also do my best to maintain always a blameless conscience, both before God and before men. Benjamin Franklin said, the best tranquilizer is a clear conscience. Amen. George Camel, Ramsey Personality, is my co-host today. Open phones at 888-825-5225. Allison is in Cincinnati. Hi, Allison. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
Better than I deserve. What's up?
Well, thank you guys for taking my call today. I have a business question for you.
Cool.
But before I dive into that, I'll give you a breakdown of our financial situations to give you a basis to answer. So my husband and I both work. We're on track to make about $150,000 this year. Our only debt is our mortgage. We owe $110,000, and it's worth about $800,000. So my husband's a contractor. He opened the business about 6 years ago. And while he loves what he does and he's talented, it's very the 24/7 job. We're constantly answering calls and, you know, people wanting work done and that kind of thing. So we've been tossing around the idea of purchasing a flip house. But with that, you know, there's pros and cons too. Some of the things that we've considered pros is that, you know, we're going to have limited customer contact, potential for a big profit. My husband can do most of the work, so the cost would be low. And then I've heard you say that house prices are going to continue to grow up, to go up. So if we were able to find a good deal, you know, I think now would be the time. But the cons to that is, you know, it would take a lot of our cash flow up front. And then the unstable market, the increase of interest rates, and then the waiting game to get our money back. So I'm calling to find out, when do you think would be a good time for us to purchase that and do that type of, transitioning from our current business to that type of work, or if you think we should wait, given our situation.
How much of the $150 was your husband's income?
He makes about $100, and I make about $50.
Okay. And do you have cash to do the flip with?
Yes. So our goal would be to purchase it in cash.
How much cash do you have?
Property. We have about $60,000 to $70,000. And then, of course, between the time that we purchase, he has work already lined up. So it would be several months before we could actually get to it. So we have the potential to make another $30,000 to $40,000before we would even start.
And that includes not touching your emergency fund.
That's correct.
Okay. All right. I would do both.
Okay.
I wouldn't switch until you've got enough flips going and your flip business is proven to walk away from the contracting business. And instead, what I would do is, I think you're managing, I think you can change your business conversation with your clients. You know, when I first started at this, I allowed people to call me 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, because they were having collectors call them, and I was coaching people, and they were in trouble, and they were behind on their house, and they could call me at night if they got a collector call or whatever, and I would, you know, I was available anytime. Now I'm never available.
Right.
And it doesn't mean I don't care, and it doesn't mean I'm not serving our customers. And so I think you can just say, listen, we work between these hours on these houses, and anything we do outside of those hours is an exception rather than a rule. You know, if you've got a customer coming in from out of town and you're building a house for them and they only can meet on, you know, Friday afternoon after work, well, that's fine. You could go do that. But not every Friday afternoon after work, and you're not available 24/7. So you just go, we're just not available during this time, and you just don't answer your phone. And that's perfectly, you can build a custom house for people, and they get their questions answered and their concerns addressed, and perfectly fine in a normal work week without being available all the time. You just got to change your customer expectations.
Let me give you
an example of that, okay? A different world, but a similar thing. Most customer service lines are the people receiving the calls are trained by stupid people that say stuff like, the customer's always right, and no matter how abusive they are, you have to put up with them. If you call the Ramsey Concierge team, we will be kind to you. We will answer your question. We will serve you. Under no circumstances will we allow you to mistreat our people inside this building. I have taught them to fire your butt as a customer if you're going to be a butt to one of them. I said, listen, we'll just give you your money back, and you don't need one of our books. You need to spend that money on counseling because you have a rage problem. And so move on. You know, and so we just don't have – we don't accept the normal customer service model. We serve our customers while we maintain our dignity and allow them to do the same. And so you can serve them without being available 24/7.
I just really want a segment now where Dave takes customer service calls. That would make me really happy.
It wouldn't make them happy.
To Dave's point, I just think there's a lot of risk in switching the business, and you may not see any income from this investment property for months and months and months, putting you guys in a lurch. And so I like the idea of continuing this side first.
Yeah.
That's our biggest concern.
Yeah, it puts too much pressure on the deal. Anytime you get pressure on the deal, you give the house away.
Right.
Oh, we got to get rid of it. We got to move this thing. We got to get our cash freed up. And if you don't have to, you don't have to become a motivated seller. And when you're not a motivated seller. I'm sorry.
What's your thoughts about like the market right now? Like, you know, I've heard you say prices are just going to keep going up. And we've actually found a good deal, we think. A property for $42,000. We think we could put all in at $100,000 and probably sell it for $220,000. Buyers? Yeah, I mean,
it's a lot of work.
That's the hope.
That's a big rehab.
It is a lot of work.
That's a big rehab.
It is a lot of work.
Okay.
But my concern is
I wouldn't want that to be my only job.
Okay.
I think your husband keeps some contracting going. Maybe he takes less of it and fewer jobs at better margins, and he sets the hours like I'm talking about, and you set your customers' expectations reasonably while you do this rehab. Maybe you cut back 25-30% on his side and then you do this rehab. That's fine. But I wouldn't just turn one off and turn on the other. Whether the market's hot or not, that's not a reflection of the market. It's a business model issue for me. Your business model should be that you need to proof text your ability to do these rehabs, because a rehab the size you're talking about doing, if you miss the estimate on that rehab, it's an extra month and an extra $25,000. You're about to blow your profit margin.
Right.
And so I like to do stuff with minimal rehabs for flips. A heavy rehab is much higher risk on a flip because it takes longer and you might miss the estimate. You know, because I used to buy these stinking historic houses and they don't build them like they used to. Thank God. You know? And we would open up a wall, and inside that wall, we thought we were just going to, you know, run some wire or change out some plaster for some drywall or something. And, oh, my God, you open up the wall, and you got to rebuild the whole freaking thing because it's just a disaster back there. And that was not in the estimate. Mm. You know, you can't tell that till you open up the wall. And
so you
got twisted lumber from 1902 that they put in there green because there was a building boom, and they didn't even let the lumber properly dry out, properly age before they put it in the dadgum house, and it looks like a pretzel in there.
But on paper, your plan seemed great.
Yeah, my estimates had all kinds of margin in them.
Yeah,
but now you've got now I got a whole nother wall I got to build, and so it's just that I can't tell you how many times that happened.
Chip and Joanna,
35 years ago, and you can still tell I'm pissed about it. But yeah, but you know that's what you're facing. So take your time, don't bet the entire income of your household or the future of your income of your household on this one deal, and let this deal kind of stand out there on its own, and you'll do better with it. But I love what you're doing. You're paying cash for it. You're industrious people. You're hardworking people.
I like the plan overall.
I think you're going to be great. But just do a couple of those things we're talking about there, and I think it's going to work out perfectly for you. Good hour, George. Well
Fun
done.
Fun times. Thank you.
That puts this hour of the Ramsey Show in the books. We'll be back with you before you know it. In the meantime, remember, there's ultimately only one way to financial peace, and that's to walk daily with the Prince of Peace, Christ Jesus.
Do you love a good Dave rant? Want to see the latest Ramsey Show videos going viral? Check out your favorite moments from the Ramsey Show on YouTube. Go watch and subscribe to the Ramsey Show channel on YouTube. If you enjoy this podcast, you should check out other great podcasts from the Ramsey Network, like Borrowed Future. Not so fun fact, America has a $1.6 trillion student loan crisis, and it's out of control. I'm George Campbell, host of the Borrowed Future podcast, where we uncover the underbelly of the student loan industry and show you what you can do about it. It'll inspire you to see that it is possible to avoid student loans and graduate college debt-free. Listen to Borrowed Future wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, it's James, producer of The Ramsey Show.
This episode is over, but check the episode notes for links to products and services you heard about during this episode. Thanks for listening.